I'm Larissa in Montana, and you're listening to Most Wanted.
Hi, Sissy.
Hello.
Welcome back to episode 65.
I can't believe it's 65. This is crazy. But like, great,
I know. Crazy. I know. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty well. You might be able to hear it a little bit. I'm a little congested. You know this about me, I think. I think we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I tend to like be all worked up for this really fun like weekend away. I see a friend or something. I relax. I get some extra sleep. I get sick.
You get sick. Yep.
Yep. So
I know this about you.
Yep. I'm getting over a mild cold. Wasn't bad. Just a little bit of congestion you might be able to hear is all.
Honestly, and maybe it's because I talk to you so often. I don't hear it, but
okay.
Well, I literally talk to you every day.
Yeah. I hope you can't, but I've been told by my husband mostly that like every once in a while, I can't quite enunciate like normal because I'm a little congested.
Sure. Yeah.
But
you don't have any like hard D's or anything anymore. It's just like,
yeah, I'm just like slurring all of a sudden.
You're like, sound good.
Yeah. Sound good.
Well, Sissy, I have to ask you something to start off this episode.
Sure.
By the time this comes out, it's going to be like way late, but I have to ask, have you watched Quiet on Set?
Oh my gosh.
Thoughts?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was horrifying, but it was also not surprising in some ways because I had a little bit of notion that Dan Schneider was kind of the worst.
Yeah.
But the rest of it was new to me.
It makes, because like I remember when Drake Bell was arrested back in 2021.
Yeah, me too.
And I remember Josh Peck, his co-star, you know, coming out and saying, you know, he wasn't invited to my wedding. We're not friends. We're not doing any of this stuff. It kind of all, there's no excuse for it, but it kind of makes sense
it
to
really
me now a little
like,
bit more.
Like Drake had really buried a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
Hadn't really dealt with it. And it was like the part that was the hardest for me to watch. I talked about this with one of my friends actually yesterday. Mm-hmm. Was Drake's dad crying.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Because he knew.
He knew. Yep. And he wasn't allowed to keep it from happening. Like the abuse was so long standing and ongoing mm-hmm. that the manipulation and the isolation and all that stuff like he was taken out of Drake's life.
Yeah. Well, and I'm not blaming Drake's mother at all, but she's not in this documentary at all. So I'm just curious how she was manipulated.
Well, the thing that got me, and I don't want to blame Drake's mother. She wasn't in the documentary. She didn't have a voice in this story. The one that got me was when, I can't remember if it was Drake or his dad, but one of them said that like Drake started getting rides home from Brian Peck mm-hmm. because his mom, like it was inconvenient to her to like go out in traffic mm-hmm. at that time of day. And it was easier mm-hmm. for Brian to instead like just bring Drake to his house or bring him home. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, like that just sounds so bad. But again, she didn't have a voice.
Right. That's kind of where I'm not saying that she was right or wrong. It's just we don't know.
Right.
And it doesn't sound like either Drake or Drake's dad want to even touch on that subject more than they had to.
And I think the only thing I've ever heard about his mom's voice was actually in that one episode of Pod Meets World.
Oh, yeah.
When I think it was Will. So they both made it. Will and Ryder were friends with Brian Peck. They have a whole episode about it. I have mixed feelings about their episode. That's maybe an off mic conversation.
Yeah, that's something you and I can talk about later.
Yep. But Will said that he was sitting in the courtroom and it was the victim's mom said like, wow, nice to see all of you guys here for the guy that abused my son or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only comment I've heard about anything with Drake's mom. Is that one from Will?
How did you feel about the woman from Zoe 101? I think her name's Alexa Nichols.
Oh, yeah.
And What about the Ariana Grande stuff?
The Ariana Grande stuff I did know about. So, and I remember thinking it was weird. That was part of why I had kind of some notions about Dan Schneider being kind of a weirdo and gross. Because this is maybe news to you because I'm kind of a nerd. For some reason, in my mid-20s, I fell in love with Victorious.
I've never seen it. And then I think it's called Cat and Sam or Sam and Cat.
Yeah, Sam and Cat. Yep.
I also never, like, those were not.
Because we were older when those came out.
Yeah. Also, I didn't have cable for a very long time.
Yep.
I
don't remember. I think it, honestly, it was like Tumblr days. I feel like I saw some funny clips on Tumblr. And at that point, Ariana Grande was starting to sing. It was after the show had ended.
Okay.
And I saw some clips and I was like, this looks really funny. So I found cheap DVDs of all the seasons on like either Amazon or Target or something.
Oh.
And so I had them on DVD and it's like this really weird, funny musical show. A lot of it is very troubling to look at, like to look back at as like a 30 something year old versus a 20 something year old.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff I've heard is that like the set was so bad that most of the cast was drunk. There's a lot of jokes that are like blatant sex jokes on that show. And these are supposed to be high schoolers.
Yuck.
It's pretty gross. Like there's a lot of like jizz jokes.
Gross. Like,
the girls have stuff shot in their faces and stuff.
That is so fucking nasty to me.
It's so gross. And I didn't see it for what it was. So watching that documentary, I was just like, oh man, like I was watching this through the eyes of a kid, honestly. Like I wasn't a kid, but like it was a Nickelodeon show. I often had it on in the background. Like I wasn't looking at it with a critical eye at all.
Right, right.
And troubling. To say the least. And I remember watching Zoe 101 when it was new. And
I loved
any
Zoe
of that.
101.
I know.
Yeah, and
I
didn't catch any of it either. Yeah, no. I loved Zoe 101.
Yeah, it was all around just very troubling. It was really well done. I'm glad they made it. I think it was necessary.
Mm-hmm. I thought that there could have been... I just thought four episodes maybe wasn't quite long enough.
Me, I actually was hoping there was going to be more.
Yeah,
I was thinking,
and there might
be 6 to 8. Yeah, there might be. There might be a little bit more of a reckoning for some people as it comes out, and more people start speaking out too,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't talk to a lot of the main players, and it didn't say anywhere that like the person, like except for Dan Schneider and Nickelodeon itself, it didn't say that like they reached out for these people for comment and they chose not to participate.
Right.
So it could be that either that is what happened, or they're like, we don't want to participate right now. Maybe let's see what happens. Or it could end up being kind of like a surviving R. Kelly situation, where after the first season comes out, a bunch of people come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, like, and I've never seen that still. So
yeah, like we're willing to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see if there will end up being more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was very good. It was very sad.
Yeah.
And it spurned me to finally check out Jeanette McCready's memoir that I have been saying I want to read.
Oh, are you going to read it?
I just got it off hold at the library. So it's going to be next on my list. Yeah.
Wow.
I'll let you know how it is.
Yeah, please do. Well, this was horrifying. Do you want to get into today's episode?
I would love to get into today's episode.
All right. Let's play What's My Crime. Who are we talking about today, Sissy?
Okay, so we're back to our, I guess we were back last couple weeks too, but our regularly scheduled programming. We're doing our regular What's My Crime again. We're, mm-hmm. you know, back to what we have been doing this whole time. So this week we're actually returning to someone we've mentioned in the past on our 10th episode of this podcast. We mentioned this person.
Yes.
So we're talking about Jose Rodolfo Villarreal Hernandez as a birthday treat to you.
Yay! Also, I can't even remember which episode. Oh, it was the bonus episode that I did for who they just added.
Oh yeah, innocent.
Yes, I can't think of his first name.
Not proven guilty yet, but probably.
Right. but I had the hardest trouble with this gentleman's last name. Sorry, Jose. Well, actually, no, I'm not sorry. Fuck you. Because you're clearly on this list. So
right. Yeah, you're here for a reason.
Oh, is this Gato?
It is.
Yes! Okay.
Yep. Oh,
I knew I picked this for my birthday for a reason. Okay.
Yep. So he was added to the FBI's Most Wanted Fugitives list on October 13th, 2020, and he was captured on January 7th, 2023.
Okay.
Do you remember what this man's crime is from our episode?
I know he's got very distinct eyes, but that's literally all I remember about him.
And you remember that he's El Gato.
That's okay. Yes. I remember two things, distinct eyes and he's a cat.
Yeah. So we're going to get into it. It's going to be, I think it's going to be fun for us. All right. Sources this week include articles from FBI Dallas, CBS News, and Axios, along with a lot of really, really, really excellent reporting from the Dallas Morning News. Most of my sources are articles from the Dallas Morning News. I actually paid for a 1 month subscription to the Dallas Morning News to be able to read all this stuff. So good. They were so good at covering this story.
Okay.
I got a little bit off of Wikipedia. Very little. There wasn't a lot out there on Wikipedia, but there was a little bit. Content warnings for this episode include murder. There are also mentions of like drug sales and stuff like that, along with cartel violence.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to hop into this man's early life and background. It's very short because I know you like to skip over the background stuff and it's your birthday week. So here we go.
And that just reminds me, next week, I would love to skip over the background, but there's too much. I hate every second of it. So thank you so much for giving me this week.
We're mostly skipping stuff. It's very, very little here.
Okay.
So this is what I can tell you. Jose Rodolfo Villarreal Hernandez was born on January 16th, 1978 in Mexico. He was one of the leaders of the Beltran Leyva cartel, and he was known as El Gato. Because of that, in addition to how much this man sucks, I am going to call him the cat.
Okay, I like that.
So he's just the cat. And that's what I know about the cat's background.
You know what? This is so short and sweet. I do love it. Thank you.
You are welcome. And because of how this story is, I'm going to roll right into our ad break so we can... If any of you are full-time remote workers like me, you know the value of comfort. And comfort with a positive message is just next level. That's why I'm proud to be an affiliate for Kind Cotton, a wonderful and cozy clothing brand that spreads kindness and good vibes wherever you go. I've got the softest crew neck kindness sweatshirt from their Pride line that I've almost worn out. And Lauren has a gorgeous mustard yellow long sleeve tee with Be Kind embroidered on the front. It's just the cutest thing. And I recently added to my collection during Hispanic Heritage Month, and now have a kindness tee in the most beautiful purple color in Spanish. It's just delightful. And the best part? For every purchase made, a book is donated to a child. Those regular podcast listeners out there know that I love to read, and I've sometimes read entire books for a podcast episode. So this is my favorite thing about this brand, by far. Check out my Kind Cotton affiliate link in the show notes and on social media, and use the promo code AMOSTWANTEDPOD at checkout for 10% off. All right, so let's get into the crime and the known timeline. So the first part of this story occurs in 2003 in the Nuevo León region of Mexico. The cat's father, whose nickname I don't know, unfortunately. I would like to say it's the lion or something, but I don't know.
It'd be better if it was like Scar or something.
Oh my gosh, what if it's Scar? We're laughing a little bit too much because this man was murdered. I'm so sorry to the cat's father.
Sorry.
I know, I'm so sorry. I should be laughing. This whole story, I'm just kind of like, ugh. So sorry, everyone. So the cat's father, I didn't even write his name down because he's just the very beginning of the story and it doesn't really matter to the main players of the story. There's a lot of players. So
Papa Gato
was murdered in 2003. Specifically, he was murdered by members of the Gulf cartel, which was a rival to the Beltran Leyva cartel. I'm going to get more into that story in a minute because there is more to that. Mm-hmm. The leader of the Gulf cartel, presumably the one giving the orders, was a man named Ociel Cardenas Guillen. I'm going to call him Cardenas throughout this story. Cardenas had a lawyer who was probably obviously also affiliated with the Gulf cartel, and more so later on in the story. His name was Juan Jesus Guerrero Chapa. I'm calling him Guerrero throughout the story.
Okay.
Because Latin American last names, the first one is usually the one they go by. That's a whole separate thing. But yeah. So for reasons you'll understand in a few minutes, the cat specifically blamed Guerrero for the death of his father, and he sought revenge. And this is the beginning of our story.
Got it.
And no one holds a grudge like a cartel leader.
I was going to say like the cartel for sure.
Yep. So I'm going to quick sidebar into this background story a little bit. Ociel Cardenas Guillen is currently serving time in the U.S. federal prison system. I don't think he's been released. I should look that up. Sorry, everyone. But he was serving time for money laundering, drug distribution, and the attempted murder of a U.S. federal agent.
Oh, Jesus.
He did, however, cut a plea deal with the U.S. government. And in exchange for information and a sizable forfeiture of assets, he got a really light sentence, which is why I'm not positive if he's been released or not.
Got it. Okay.
I don't think he has yet. But again, we can check and put a little addendum at the end on that. So he agreed to this plea deal and he started sharing information with the U.S. government regarding cartel leaders and movements and plans. And he agreed to pay $50 million, which is, that's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
A cartel leader to pay. Yeah. At this point, Cardenas was already in jail in the U.S., but his lawyer wasn't.
Oh.
So Guerrero remained Cardenas' eyes and ears outside the jail, continued his transports of drugs and money, and also collected the money that was needed to pay the U.S. government back and guarantee Cardenas' release. So that's what Guerrero did.
Okay.
It was because of this deal that Guerrero started acting as a U.S. informant.
Oh.
His cooperation with Cardenas in prison also put a bit of a target on his back from the Zetas, which were a former paramilitary arm of the Gulf cartel, along with other cartels. Like, the other cartels also had put a target on Guerrero's back.
Yeah.
I worded that a little funny. But Guerrero didn't really seem worried about all of that because he was a U.S. informant. So he's protected, obviously. Cardenas went to prison based on his plea, and Guerrero figured there was enough going on to understand that he should stay in the U.S. So that's what he decided to do.
Okay.
But that target on his back didn't entirely go away. However, the last thing anyone was expecting was for someone from Mexico to get to him in the U.S.
Uh-oh.
That doesn't happen often, so he thought he was safe in the U.S.
Right.
So let's talk a bit about why the cat was blaming Guerrero for the murder of his father in the first place.
Okay.
So this is what I read. Back in 2003, Cardenas and his peeps picked up two U.S. federal agents who crossed the border into Mexico.
Okay.
So this is the Gulf cartel leader who's now in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these U.S. federal agents were undercover, but were made soon after they'd been picked up by Cardenas.
Oh my God, scary.
Yes. Cardenas wanted information from them, which they refused to share. So he threatened to kill them, obviously. Mm-hmm. What else were they going to do?
Right.
And my understanding is that at least one of the two U.S. federal agents were like, yo, remember when Kiki Camarena was murdered and the U.S. didn't rest until almost everyone involved was dead? Remember that? Do you want that to happen to you? So they basically were at this, like, standoff.
Yeah.
And for some reason, Cardenas backed down.
And really?
He let them go. But.
Like, oh, no.
Knowing that they were going to go back and report that this happened.
Yeah.
He went into hiding. And his place of hiding specifically was Guerrero's ranch. So he went to Guerrero's property to hide, to lay low for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, the cat's father was a police officer in Mexico.
Oh, shit.
And he heard that Cardenas was hiding out at Guerrero's ranch.
Oh, fuck.
So he went out there, not to do police work, but to hopefully get paid to not share the information of Cardenas' whereabouts with authorities that might care.
Right.
But the cat's father was basically a nobody. And right. Cardenas was like, psh, fuck that guy. And the cat's father was never seen again.
Oh, my God.
And sure, it was probably not Guerrero that actually killed him.
Right, but you gotta, you're going to place your blame somewhere.
Yep, and he disappeared at the ranch owned by yep. Guerrero. So that is where, that's what stuck with the cat. That is where his blame and revenge plots and stuff came from.
Right.
So now we're going to flash forward 10 years.
2013, okay.
Yes. Cardenas has been arrested by this point. He's been sentenced in the U.S. He's in Colorado in the maximum security prison there. More importantly, Guerrero had left Mexico at that point and had turned informant for the U.S. government. It honestly wouldn't surprise me if that fact angered the cat even more.
Right.
That this man who he blamed for the murder of his father didn't even have the integrity to not turn on his own family, in quotes, like the cartel family.
Right.
Because it's basically like the mob, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's unclear if Guerrero was living in the U.S. under his true name or not. As far as I could tell, it has never been disclosed whether he was in witness protection.
Oh.
Or if he was just hanging out there right. under his true name.
Right.
But I do know that he and his family had settled into a nice neighborhood in South Lake, Texas, which is in the... It's kind of like in the outskirts of between Dallas and Fort Worth in that metro area.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were living pretty well. They had a house purchased for them under an alias. I read it two ways. I read that the house was purchased for them, possibly by the U.S. government. Hard to say.
Ooh.
I also read separately that they purchased the house in cash and
ooh.
Just like registered it with the whatever under an alias, like put yeah. it down as an alias. So either way, it doesn't sound great, but they have a house and it's, we should look it up at the end. I don't have the address offhand, but it's a huge house.
Okay.
Guerrero also drove a Range Rover. They were not hiding. He and his wife and family were out and about around town all the time. They were known there. They weren't laying low. To me, it's more evidence that they weren't living under their true names for them to just be out and about. But
right. Yeah.
I don't really know that. I think they thought everything was going fine for them and they were going to basically get off scot-free because they were informants.
Right. Like, right. I have a question. Wouldn't
yep.
you, if they're from Mexico, why stay in Texas? You know, wouldn't you think mm-hmm. that you'd get a little bit farther away? I'm just asking, and you probably don't know the answer to that. It was just.
It's an excellent question. I'm guessing it's because all of the charges that Cardenas faced were in Texas, like through the Texas district court system.
That's fair.
So that's where they kind of settled in
yeah.
order to like help with the trial. And when it was done, they're like, well, where else are we going to go? People speak Spanish here.
That, oh, you know, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, of course. Of like, course.
Why would we go where they don't speak Spanish?
Right, right.
Okay. So they thought everything was going fine, except... The cat had not forgotten. So what he did in like, I think it was starting in 2011 or so, he sent a crew from Mexico up to the Dallas area to find Guerrero and start tracking him.
Uh-oh.
They actually tracked him for, like I said, about 2 years before anything happened.
Uh-oh.
I'm guessing that Guerrero, like I said, thought he was safe in the U.S. because... It's very rare for Mexican cartels to risk the wrath of the U.S. justice system just to assassinate a rival. So, like, he was just like, no one's going to touch me here. Not when I'm working for the government.
Right. And a grudge is a scary thing.
That's what I was going to say. But the cat was pissed and petty and holding a grudge.
Oh, my God.
So, on May 22nd, 2013, two of the cat's hitmen... tracked Guerrero and his wife in their burgundy Range Rover to the South Lake Town Square, which is one of those cute outdoor malls.
Oh, sure.
Places with nice weather have.
So jealous.
I know, right?
Also places that you can walk outside to go to and from class, like in high school. So
yeah,
jealous.
So jealous. I know. Inside a building all the time. Anyway.
Gross.
Yeah. Guerrero and his wife had gone there to do a little bit of shopping, and then they got some frozen yogurt. So,
okay.
like I said, they were just, you know, living their lives.
Yeah, like totally not suspecting a thing. Oh my God.
Yep. The two hitmen, known as Captain and Clorox.
I'm sorry?
Yep. Captain like, Clorox.
Okay. All right.
Yep. Like the bleach. Yep. Yep. They were waiting in their Toyota Sequoia, rented Toyota Sequoia.
Of course.
For them to leave the yogurt shop. And when Guerrero and his wife returned to their vehicle, that Toyota Sequoia was still waiting. So, at around 6:47 p.m., and it says around, but it's like very specific.
I was like, around 6:47, of course.
That's I also, I, yeah. That's like the weather, our weather, like Alexa, whatever. I just said her name. Oh, no. Please don't talk to me. Okay. We were asking, like, how much snow are we supposed to get during this snowpocalypse thing? And she's like, approximately 1.42 inches. Sure.
It's approximate, though, so who approximate. Knows? Sure.
That makes sense.
Thanks, Alexa.
Anyway, yeah, at around 6:47 p.m., Guerrero was climbing into the front passenger seat of the Range Rover, and his wife was placing shopping bags in the back of the vehicle.
Okay.
The passenger in the Toyota Sequoia, so the Sequoia drove behind the Range Rover. The passenger mm-hmm. got out. He was wearing a hoodie with the hood up and a bandana to shield his face. He approached the passenger side of the vehicle. He fired multiple rounds at Guerrero using a 9mm handgun, striking Guerrero in the side and the back. He, like, turned away and was trying to, like, climb over into the driver's seat. So, like, there are actual photos that they put in newspapers of his body.
Oh, my God.
We're not posting them. It's too much. But, like, yeah, he was trying to turn away.
Oh, my God.
Guerrero slumped over kind of between the two seats over the center console. And the shooter returned to the Sequoia where they escaped down into the crowd, down the road. Guerrero was rushed to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. But his wife was not harmed at all. Which I think is kind of weird.
That is weird. That's super like, weird.
They just let, I mean, she didn't see anything either.
Right.
But
right.
like, they let her go, which I just, that's not generally what you hear.
I wonder if this is where Jodi Arias got her story.
Maybe. Maybe, because there's like surveillance footage of some of this, so like this is actually what happened. Yeah. This murder was pretty shocking all around. It was the first murder in Southlake in like a decade.
Holy shit.
Like, it was a pretty ritzy suburb, so
yeah, well,
low violence. Yep. And like I said, the most surprising thing to me was like Guerrero's wife wasn't even attempted to be harmed.
That's weird.
Yeah, like I think of, and I mean, this is a movie, but I think of the movie Peppermint.
Okay.
Oh, it's got Jennifer Garner in it.
Okay.
And her husband, like, gets in a weird spot with, I think it is the cartel, but, like, he doesn't realize it's the cartel. He's working for, like, someone low level trying to make a little more extra money.
Mm-hmm.
And something goes wrong. They're out to get ice cream, she and her daughter and husband. And, like, someone just sprays AR bullets at them, and her husband and daughter die, and she lives. So then she's out to like avenge their deaths, and she's going by Peppermint, and that's like the last ice cream flavor she ate or something. But anyway, like I thought it's a movie, but I thought of that where like they were indiscriminately spraying bullets,
right? And not
like,
harmed.
They want it to look like a drive-by. This was not a drive-by. This was
right.
Like it.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of lack of mercy, though, like, I think what I was trying to say is like, it's weird that you see this kind of mercy in like, you normally they just kill everybody, but they this time. Speaking of lack of mercy, Guerrero had a sister still living in Mexico that wanted to avenge his death. Like, that's the thing. These grudges, like,
they keep
going. So
right.
She wanted to avenge her brother's death. And she, once the cat was involved, and we're going to get to how that happened, but she had one of the cat's relatives killed and beheaded.
What the fuck?
And then she sent a video of the severed head to the cat. Like,
bro,
it just keeps going on and on and on.
I could never, ever, ever be part of like a crime family.
No.
Because I can't do that shit.
No. No, I had trouble dissecting a frog. Like, I can't do any of this shit.
Well, yeah, if you nick the wrong thing, that shit stinks.
Yeah. And also, it just, like, I don't like knowing that that's his insides. I don't like that.
Oh, I remember that my partner was like, Lauren, you will be doing all the work. And I was like, joke's on you, Caleb. No, I won't. And it was the joke on Caleb. Caleb literally did everything, and I sat at my desk.
So now I want to talk about the aftermath, the accomplices, and what we know about the capture.
Okay.
So I don't think it took much guessing for the U.S. government to understand that this was a cartel killing, but I do think that they were surprised figuring out that it wasn't within the cartel he was a part of after turning informant. I'm guessing that's what they thought it was.
Right.
I would also guess that they've been pretty unwilling. I shouldn't even say I guess. The government's been pretty unwilling to confirm a lot of facts about what was going on in the background before this guy got killed, because it looks really, really bad when an informant is killed right under the nose of the government that's supposed to be protecting him.
Yeah.
So, like, they won't confirm whether he was in witness protection. As far as I know, they won't confirm if he was still working as an informant at the time he was killed, or if that ended when Cardenas was, like, took his plea.
We also don't know who bought the house.
Yes, exactly. Like, there's a lot of things that we don't know because they're like, we can't release this info. It's classified. Mm-hmm. It's ongoing. Like, all this
stuff. Right.
So, the surprising thing was that, like I said, it wasn't someone within the Gulf cartel that was upset, nor was it anyone in the Zetas. Now, during the trial, there wasn't a trial, I guess, but like the sentencing and plea and stuff for Cardenas, this paramilitary branch, the Zetas, split from the Gulf cartel because they were pissed that he was cooperating with the U.S. government.
Oh, yeah.
Super pissed that he was forfeiting assets that he hadn't necessarily earned on his own.
Ooh.
Like, he was forfeiting cartel assets.
Right.
Yeah. So they kind of split and started doing their own stuff. So I think the U.S. was pretty surprised that it wasn't either the Gulf cartel or the Zetas that had murdered Guerrero. Mm-hmm. Instead, it was this weird old family grudge.
Yeah, right. It's like, so,
like, they're just like, oh, that's not what we were expecting.
Like, yeah, that's like, it wasn't choice A, it wasn't choice B, it wasn't even choice C, it was like, choice F. But
yeah,
okay.
It was like, yeah, F or G.
Like, yeah, right.
Not where we were going with this.
No.
So over a year after this murder, it was unsolved for about a year. A father and son team were arrested near the border town of Laredo, Texas. And they implicated the father's cousin in the plot as well. I didn't name them. All their names are really, really similar, and they're in all the articles. So it's just confusing to verbally say, but you can read about it. And like, the father and son have the same name. And then the father's cousin or the uncle or whatever. Like, just, it's very confusing. So they're just father, son, cousin.
Okay. Is how it. Got it.
Father's cousin. And they're not really part of our main story anyway. But they were part of this surveillance team who located and tracked Guerrero in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They were hired by the CAT around 2011 and kept up the work while renting an apartment in another Dallas suburb called Grapevine until after Guerrero was killed. And it was once the three of them were arrested, and then the father's cousin was actually a U.S. citizen. The other two weren't.
Oh.
So it was after the three of them were arrested, they explained the entire plot to investigators. And they're just like, oh.
Yeah, and the investigator's like, right, we would have gotten there eventually.
We would have gotten there for sure. Definitely.
Yeah.
Nah. No, definitely not. So the son in this plot, he actually claimed to investigators that he had been forced by his father to help with the surveillance. He was in his 30s. So,
oh, okay, no,
he wasn't.
It's not
a
like
child.
He's 10. Yeah, okay. No, I was literally like, this is kind of sad.
Yeah, no, you know, he was like in his 30s. His dad was in his like late 50s.
Yeah, no, I don't feel bad for you.
Okay. No, I think the dad's cousin was in his like early 60s. He was claiming that he was forced to help, otherwise their whole family would have been killed, which could actually be true, but also like, you're all adults. In any case, he was much younger than the father and father's cousin.
Yep.
And I would guess, particularly if he was being forced by his dad to do something like this, like he was more susceptible to influence than his father and uncle may have been, because he turned witness for the prosecution and testified against his father his father's cousin at their trials.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So the plea that the son took gave him 20 years in federal prison. The father and the father's cousin both received 2 life sentences.
Wow.
I don't know why 2, because it was only one guy that died, but it was probably like aiding and abetting and accomplice to murder for hire or something like that. Like they're both felonies. So
yeah. Yeah.
So those sentencings all happened in 2016.
Okay.
So like now they've got info, they're moving ahead.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, the cat's brother, Ramon Villarreal Hernandez, known as El Mon, which I couldn't find, like M-O-N, I couldn't find a direct translation. I'm wondering if it's like short for El Mono, but I also don't want to call him the monkey because that sounds really bad. So okay. I'm just going to call him Ramon.
Yep, that's fine.
He was arrested in Mexico in 2018.
Oh, okay.
He had been charged in the U.S. with interstate stalking and conspiracy to commit murder for hire. He was extradited to the U.S. and pleaded guilty to both of those charges in June 2022 and was sentenced to 10 years in U.S. prison in early 2023. So he is still in prison.
That doesn't seem like enough time, but okay.
I agree. Plea deals are key.
Okay. Yep. I forgot about that.
Yep. So we're on to the little bit I know about the main story here.
I forgot this was all a side quest. Okay.
Yep, this is all a side quest. Most of the story is a side quest.
That's fine.
The cat had been living his life in Mexico this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't hiding. He was still leading the Beltran Leyva cartel. He'd been living in kind of a rich area outside of Mexico City called Atizipan de Zaragoza. Atizipan de Zaragoza. Very rich area. He was arrested there in January 2023. The cat's arrest was a huge operation between the Mexican Marines, Interpol, the U.S. government, and some other organizations as well.
Oh, shit.
It occurred just days prior to U.S. President Joe Biden arriving in Mexico for a summit. The timing made some people raise their eyebrows. Mm-hmm. Since the cat had not been laying low.
I was going to say, I'm absolutely shocked right now that he was just like, I'm just going to.
So
kind of makes the list feel not so listy.
Yeah, this is where a lot of people struggle with the seriousness of the Mexican government sometimes, because they're willing to let certain things go and then unwilling to let other things go. And sometimes they do like vigilante type justice instead of doing like due process justice.
I was like justice.
Yeah. So, but he was arrested. Last I read, he had not yet been extradited.
Oh, fuck.
So he is still in Mexico, as far as I can tell. So we will have an update at some point that he's finally been extradited to the U.S.
Well, shit.
But it took like 4 years for his brother to get extradited. So
damn.
It's a lot of diplomacy.
Yep.
To do those kinds of things. So it might be a while, but that's where we are right now. Clorox and Captain have never been publicly identified by their real names and have not been captured.
Oh, shit.
Those two hitmen are out there somewhere. They're probably in Mexico.
Yeah.
But they're out there somewhere. Like I said, there'll probably be updates to come later on in this podcast at some point, if there are some. But that is what I have for you for your birthday episode. Final thoughts with Lauren. What do you think?
What the fuck?
Yeah. Happy birthday.
I'm like, what is fucking happening right now?
It was a super elaborate plot. Truly. Like,
yeah.
And I'm there's probably more people involved that they haven't
for sure
arrested or even identified. So there's probably even more to this than we already know at this point. But
that's fucked.
Yeah. I think when we did our episode 10, like 10 most wanted episode, mm-hmm. I think I was under the understanding that he was in the U.S. and he was like part of all of this. And it was the totally different story than I was expecting.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was different than I was anticipating telling you today.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Huh. Final thoughts with Lauren.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to stick with what the fuck.
Yeah. Yep. I was going to say, I think your original final thoughts.
Yeah. Nope. I'm sticking with it. What the fuck?
Okay. So I'll go straight into sources on this one.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a shorter episode for us. Sources included an article in FBI Dallas called FBI 10 Most Wanted Fugitive Jose Rodolfo Villarreal Hernandez Captured in Mexico by Public Affairs Officers Melinda Urbina and Katie Chaumont. And then I've got a bunch of articles from the Dallas Morning News, which I think you'll enjoy some of the headlines too.
Okay.
First one's called Here's the Possible Fallout for Capture of Mexican Cartel Boss Wanted in South Lake Slaying by Kevin Krause. Kevin Krause was a prolific writer in this little area.
Okay.
Most of these are by him. Also in the Dallas Morning News, alleged cartel figure to serve decade in prison for South Lake murder by Kevin Krause. Mm-hmm. Another one, brother of cartel leader who allegedly ordered hit on South Lake lawyer arrested in Mexico, report says, by Julieta Chiquillo. In the Dallas Morning News, South Texas man gets two life sentences for providing high-tech spy cameras in murder plot against South Lake cartel lawyer by Kevin Krause.
Kevin.
I know.
Do you write your own headlines? I feel like you do, Kevin.
I hope he does. I think I wrote one of these headlines twice, so I apologize if I say it twice. Next one in the Dallas Morning News. Mexican ex-cop gets life for stalking cartel lawyer who was assassinated by hitmen in South Lake by Kevin Krause. I didn't say that. So the father and son were both supposedly ex-cops in Mexico, and that's why they knew how to use this equipment. I don't know. That didn't seem confirmed enough to me.
Okay.
But
okay.
I don't know. And then there were two really, really in-depth feature articles that had really short titles, but were just super in-depth about the cartels and the violence mm-hmm. and stuff. The first one was called Deadly Deal by Alfredo Corchado and mm-hmm. Kevin Krause. Mm-hmm. And the second one was called Stalking Their Prey by mm-hmm. Alfredo Corchado and Kevin Krause.
I just got the fucking chills. I hate that.
Yeah. Like, it's true, but I hate that.
It
was like we talked about stalking a few weeks ago. It was intense stalking. It just wasn't like dating violence stalking. It was like family grudge stalking. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. And then I got an article from Axios called Mexican Cartel Leader Linked to Killing in Dallas Suburb Arrested by Michael Mooney. Two articles from CBS News, one called Mexican Cartel Leader El Gato Wanted for Alleged Role in 2013 Texas Murder for Hire Plot Arrested in Mexico by Carrie Breen. Lots of commas in there that I didn't say, but there were some commas to break that sentence up.
I have scripts like that. I get it. It's fine.
And then in CBS News, two Mexican cousins get life in U.S. prisons for helping in South Lake murder by CBS Texas. So no real byline. And then a little bit from Wikipedia.
Wow.
Yeah. Did you like all of Kevin's headlines? I'm
Kevin, big fan.
Yeah. He was good. The articles were really good.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I do love those. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And that is a birthday story for Lauren. The story of an international murder for hire plot with a hint of a long held family grudge. The story of the cat. Jose Rodolfo Villarreal Hernandez.
I still can't. Villarreal. Why did I struggle so bad with that?
I think because it took me a little bit of practice to get it off my tongue right. I think it's because the double L is a Y sound, but there's an L at the end. I think that's why it's like the Y, but then the R and the L. I think it's just like a weird series of consonants for English, but not strange for Spanish.
Right. Well, also, it's let it just be known that I'm like the worst Hispanic ever, since I can't. I just can't.
You get tanner than me, though.
Also, my partner has told me that I am the worst Hispanic ever because I don't like spicy things.
I mean, same.
So, yeah.
Neither of us got that gene or whatever it is.
I wish. But like, if I even look at a jalapeno, like, bye.
Oh, I'm sweating already.
Gosh. Ugh. Anyways. Anyway. Thank you for the birthday story. I loved it.
You are welcome.
This guy's a dick.
More of a conclusion.
That's okay. Well, I mean, this just leads into more follow-up episodes, which I'm good with. That's
true. And like, it's the birthday gift that maybe we'll keep on giving because we'll keep
I was just going to say that keeps on giving. Mm-hmm. Also, he needs to be extradited like yesterday.
I know. And it truly
How funny would it be that by the time we're recording this to the time this comes out, then he's extradited. It's like, oh, damn my it. God.
Yeah, like, ugh. Come on, cat.
Come on, cat.
We got
that darn cat. Damn.
That darn cat.
That's a good movie. Anyways, we got to go. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Sorry we're a little loosey-goosey. Just be prepared for next week when it's all bad.
The Lucy is goosier.
The Lucy is goosier. Anyways, we got to go. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. You can find us on Instagram at A Most Wanted Pod, where we do post true crime trivia every Sunday. You can follow us on X, or formerly known as Twitter, at A Most Wanted Pod. Find us and like us on Facebook at A Most Wanted Podcast. You can send us an email at amostwantedpodcast@gmail.com. Visit our website at amostwantedpodcast.com. And remember, listen, subscribe, and love. Bye.